episode of Why Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, was trying to figure out why I'm still single. But it's been a lot of episodes, and we never got closer to figuring it out. So I'm just talking to people I like about love and relationships, and it's fun. Okay, my guest today is an actress from Dear White People, Hello Cupid, and you've seen her on episodes of Grand Crew. Rest in peace. Her podcast, Trials to Triumph, is on the Oprah Winfrey Network. I love Oprah, and I love our guest. What a wild way to do that. Anyway, I am so excited she's here. She's wonderful. She's very, like, serene. She's, like, a real adult, and she's very funny. It's Ashley Blaine Featherston Jenkins!
Hi, friend.
What a dumb intro. I said she's a real adult.
I am. Thank you for that compliment.
You are.
What if you were like, she's a real child? You know what
I mean? I mean, I think that's how some people might want to introduce me. They're like, she'll never grow up. She suffers from Peter Pan syndrome. Even though she goes to therapy, it's not taking. Nicole Byer. Ashley, thank you so much for being here. Your skin looks incredible as always. It's not fair. I do need to go to the dermatologist you go to, and I feel like you've given me this woman's information yes. no less than 18 times.
I got you. She's the best in LA, especially if you have melanated skin. So I got you. I'll send you my girl.
Okay, perfect. So, Ashley, would you say that your good skin is what won you a husband?
You know what? It's one of his, like, early on in dating, we would say, like, what are, you know, we would ask each other, like, what are some of my favorite, like, I don't know, like, physically, what are some things, like, favorite things about me or whatever? And that is one of the things he names, is my skin. But his skin, too. He has great skin.
Two people with good skin. You love to see it. So, okay, you're the person. I started doing this book called Calling in the One. I will say I am on a bit of a hiatus from it. It got a little overwhelming. It was bringing up a lot of, you know, shit that I was like, oh, no, it is me. But you did it. You said you did it straight through, mm-hmm. and then you met your husband.
Well,
Darryl.
No. The story's a little bit different. Oh. So,
okay,
the book was recommended to me. I was also mm-hmm. this really matters. I was 24 years old. Okay, so this okay. was like 11 years ago, literally. And at the time, I was a couple years out of a relationship, but I was still kind of like holding on to it. Like, it was in a weird space. Mm-hmm. I was single, but it was in a weird space. And I had recently met a friend of mine who's now one of my best friends. And we had met maybe a month before. And the book was recommended to both of us by a mutual friend. We were like, hey, like, let's read it together and like shed and like call in the person for us. But the irony of it is that I did already know my husband. I had met my husband 2-3 years before that. At the time, we were just like friends and like messing around here and there, whatever. Mm-hmm. But we got married almost 10 years later. So it was, I called in the one that was already there, I guess. And then 10 years later, we figured it out.
I mean, that's like in the book. She tells this magical story about how she knew this man, she wasn't ready for him, and then met him on a dating app back when there was no pictures, and they reconnected, and then they got married, and then they had kids, and then they consciously uncoupled because sometimes, you know, marriages don't last forever. But this lady, she seems so, like, chill, and a lot of it is just like, what are you doing to push people away? And that was the thing that got me good. And she's like, what prophecies are you fulfilling for yourself? And I was like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I'm doing so many things to fulfill this prophecy of, like, nobody likes me. Nobody wants to date me. Nobody wants to stay around. And boy, oh, boy, is it overwhelming.
Yeah, I remember one of the things that really stayed with me from the book. Also, highly recommend the book for anybody that, like, is trying to call in the one. And what you might find is that, like, maybe you don't call in the one, but, like, you do learn a lot about yourself, you know, Nicole, which it sounds mm-hmm. like is definitely happening with you. But something that really stuck with me was she was like, you have to release heart space. Like, if someone that isn't for you or something from the past is taking up heart space, then, like, who's for you and what's for you can't there's no space for them. There's nowhere for them mm-hmm. to fit. And so I remember one of the exercises in the book is that you have to, like, anywhere you have this person you're trying to release, if you have their name anywhere, in journals, pictures, whatever it is, wherever they're, like, lingering in your things, you have to, like, throw it away and, like, burn it. And I remember feeling so much anxiety being like, oh, like ripping out 50 journal pages where I was just writing and writing and writing about this person and my sadness and pictures I just didn't need. And like, I had to purge it. I had to let it go so I could like create more space.
Oh boy, that gives me anxiety. I'm not there in the book yet.
Yeah.
I'm at the part where it's just like, write, like, forgive people for, like, things they've done to you and, like, let it go and write them a letter and then either rip up the letter, keep the letter, send the letter. But it is, like, it's a lot. And I didn't realize how much of me was, I don't want to say not good, but, like, I thought I was really good at communicating because I talk for a living, but I'm not. In a relationship, I'm not good at it. And I spent a lot of time being like, well, I need to make them happy, as opposed to like, am I actually communicating my feelings? Mm. And then if I'm communicating my feelings, am I doing it efficiently or am I doing it well? And the answer is no, she's not. Ooh. So when did you start dating?
Like in general, like. Mm-hmm. Like,
were you
from a child?
Okay. An early bloomer, a late bloomer, a middle bloomer?
Can you give me like ranges? Like, what's considered early?
Oh, so okay. I didn't start really dating until like my 20s. So early to me is like middle school, high school. Because I'm like, how did anyone have time to date in high school?
Oh yeah. Okay. So then I was early, I guess. Yeah. Like I. The most serious boyfriend I remember having was in high school. So by like my freshman, sophomore year of high school, I was like in serious relationships in high school.
Really? And how did you have, were you in clubs and shit?
I was in all of the clubs, like literally. I was in clubs, SGA, the choir, the theater, the whatever. And my like boyfriends were too, like they were, you know, especially in high school. I mean, I guess it's the same now with football, but like if you played football, I remember they would have like 3-a-days. Like, I don't know how anybody, you're right, hangs out in high school. Definitely don't know how I had a whole boyfriend, but I did. But, and the funny thing is that it was long distance too. So long distance in the sense that like we didn't go to the same school. He went to a school that was like 30 minutes away and lived about 30 minutes
away, commuting to date while in school.
We were commuting to date while in school. Yeah.
Honestly, that sounds absolutely unhinged. And I barely have the time now as an adult. And like the thought of dating someone who lives in like Santa Monica, where it's like a half hour commute, I'd be like, that's a no for me, dog. Sorry about it.
Yeah. Like I wouldn't do it now, but I guess in high school it was like cute. And it was a kind of a group of us, like a group of girlfriends. We all kind of had boyfriends that went to this all boys school. So we would like go out there and like visit them, or they would come in and visit us, and we would see each other on the weekends. Like it just kind of worked. Talk on the phone all night, you know, that type of thing.
I think I really missed out on dating in high school because I lived directly behind an all boys Christian school, and I could truly just like go through a friend's backyard and find all the boys. And I never did.
Did you want to? Did you have urges to, or were you a little scared, a little shy?
Oh my God. I had crushes all day, every day. I was always in love with somebody. From like elementary school to middle school to high school, I always had a crush. And I don't think I ever acted on it. I think I did once. No, maybe twice. I was like, oh my God, do you like me? And they were like, absolutely not. It never came to fruition. And then yeah. I spent my early 20s being just a woman who chased after men who didn't want her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you saying that's making me think about like the unrequited love experiences I had from like I remember it was a guy named Spike when I was in elementary school.
Spike. His name was Spike.
His name was Spike, which I like looking back, I'm like, whoa, that's cool. Anywho, Spike was not banging with me. Or like in middle school, I used to love this guy named Tim Garbinski. And, like, I remember I, like, fractured my wrist around Valentine's Day in, like, 7th or 8th grade. And I remember, you know, going to get the cast and being like, what color do you want? Me being like, red, obviously, it's February. Mm-hmm. And literally being like, I will break my other wrist if Tim Garbinski does not sign my cast. Like, I will break every limb. And I remember, like, waiting on him to come to class and being like, you know, kind of like, wounded girl, like, he was like, what happened? I was like, yeah, like, I fell ice skating. It really hurts. Do you want to sign it? And he signed it and, like, still wasn't banging with me like that. But, you know, whatever. But I remember just, like, really liking this guy and having a, like, at the time, one of my, like, close friends in school was, like, gay. He's, like, my first gay, like, you know, kind of bestie. But mm-hmm. he was, like, best friends with him, too. So he was, like, in the middle and, like, trying to help us figure it out. But it never amounted to anything, and he never liked me, and I had to move on with my life.
I'm so sorry. I mean, in high school, I had a gaggle of gays. It's really funny to, like, look back on it and be like, oh, I had a crush on one of them, and I, like, told him, and he was like, yeah, I mean, I think I really like Asian women. And I was like, oh, okay. There were no Asian girls who went to, like, there was, like, maybe two or three, but, like, not enough to be like, this is my thing. And then, you know, later he came out as gay. But yeah, I just like, it wasn't on purpose, but there was always gay men around me. And I was like, why do gay men like me, but then straight men don't like me? Who knows? It's my lot in life. But also I do prefer gay men because they'll be like, you look good, girl. And
yes,
straight men will just be like, oh, that's a thing you're wearing. And I'm like, just come on, please. Although I did date someone recently who would tell me how beautiful I looked all the time. And I was like, this is what I love. I love compliments.
That really matters, though. Like, I think anybody that, like, acts like they don't care if they're ever complimented is lying.
I think,
like,
so,
nobody
too.
Nobody is like, it's okay. I tell myself that I'm beautiful. No, you want to hear from other people, especially from someone that you love or you're into, that you look good. Like, there's no way that people are okay with that.
This will sound very toxic, but I used to wear a lot of makeup all the time, everywhere I went, never left my house without makeup. And then I was dating this person and I was wearing makeup one night, they slept over, and then the next morning we woke up and I had to go to work, and I wasn't wearing makeup because I was going to work, and he looked at me and he was like, you look really pretty this morning, and I was like, ugh, it's 6 a.m., I don't look pretty. He's like, no, no, you do. He's like, are you wearing makeup right now? Why are you wearing makeup at 6 a.m.? And I was like, I'm not wearing makeup. And he's like, you look just as pretty as you did last night. And I was like, oh, my God. I marry you? And then I didn't, you know? But it was one of the first times that a man was like, you look pretty the way you are. And I don't want to be like, you need that. But I did. I needed someone I was dating to tell me that, like, I was enough and that, like, the way I wake up is beautiful. And it was the first time it happened, and it was lovely.
Did you stop wearing makeup as much after? Like,
did
it kind of liberate that for you? Yeah.
It did. It was a thing where, and it wasn't like this person validated that I look fine without makeup. It was just like a little step to be like, hey, you don't have to cover your face and makeup every single day. You can go. The world's not going to vomit when they see you without makeup on. And it was it was just like a nice thing. And then he always made sure to tell me that, like, I looked pretty anytime we went out. And again, not saying that I need outside validation because I think I'm a beautiful person, but it was just nice to know that the person I was with also thought I was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Boy, oh boy. I miss them. Anywho, Ashley, do you remember the first time you said I love you to somebody?
Ooh, I don't, actually. I mean, it was probably to, like, my high school boyfriend, the one that I was, like, doing long distance for a couple years with. Because that was, like, a real relationship. Like, that was, like, we were, like, giving each other cards for random occasions and, like, you know, like, going out to dinner. Like, it was, like, real. But it was probably to him. Yeah.
And you don't remember it?
No, I don't. I don't. I actually have no memory of that.
I'll never forget it.
Really?
Yeah, because I didn't know how to say I love you to anybody. I'd never done it before, so I Googled it. And WikiHow had pictures
Oh, wow.
So I read WikiHow and I was like, okay, so that's how you do it. It was like, wait for like a good moment when you guys are together. And I, so like, that's what I did. And then I wrote out a whole thing like an insane person and I read it to him. And I like built in a thing where I was like, you might not say it back and that's okay. I accept that. And then he said it back later, but I think I just took him by surprise because I had written a whole soliloquy about how I loved him. And I don't recommend that for anybody. Just
he was taken aback.
Just say it from your heart. You don't have to do too much prep work.
Yeah, just keep it real. I do remember the first time I told my now husband, my then situationship, that I loved him. I definitely remember that. I was like in a puddle on the floor. I was mad about something and like crying to him on the phone. I don't literally can't remember what I was mad about, but I was in like my little studio apartment on the floor. Like you would have thought that like someone had just stabbed me or something. I just was on the floor crying. And he was like, what's wrong? Why are you crying? Like, again, whatever I was crying about was not a big deal. And I was like, I'm crying because I think I'm in love with you. And he was like, no, you're not. That was the first thing he said. That was like, yes, I am. Why would you say that to me? He was like, why would you be in love with me? He did the classic like guy. What is it about me that, you know, I was like, why wouldn't I love you? I've loved you for so long. Like, whatever. It was a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then later he was like, I just didn't know how to say it back. And then it was so dramatic.
I mean,
it was so dramatic.
It is kind of dramatic. It's like, I may seem like a vulnerable person because I just talk a lot about my life, but I'm not an actual vulnerable person in relationships or in my friendships sometimes because being vulnerable opens you up to get hurt. And I don't, who wants to get hurt? And saying I love you is such a vulnerable thing because the person could just go, no, or I don't love you back, or yuck.
Mm-hmm.
God, it's so hard.
Love hurts, or it feels really good. Like, and you have to, that's the thing though, Nicole, you just have to take the risk because there's no, you know, you don't get a reward without taking a little risk. And so sometimes that person is going to be like, yes, I love you back. I love you so much. I love you so much. And other times they're going to be like, I don't. But you got to say it to find out sometimes.
Sometimes you do. Okay, so who proposed to who? Was it you or did Daryl propose to you? What was it? Tell me.
Daryl 1,000,000,000% proposed to me. I did not propose to him. No. I'm like, I don't know. I want to say I'm kind of, my instinct is saying I want to say that I'm kind of opposed to like the woman proposing to the man.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to say that I'm against it because everyone has their own thing. And I think that by saying I'm against it, that would maybe suggest that I'm like, I don't want a woman to also own that part of their life if they don't want to. But like for me, I 1,000%. If it were up to me to get engaged to somebody, like I would never be engaged, I don't think.
Really?
If I were just waiting for, like if it were going to be on me to propose to somebody else, I would never be engaged, I don't think.
Well, what did Daryl plan? Was it something delightful or was it something simple?
Oh, it was delightful. And it was exactly what I would have wanted or what I did want. So it was in the pandemic, which was like a crazy time, as you know. Mm-hmm. We got engaged September 18th, 2020. Basically, our like dating anniversary is September 1st.
Mm-hmm.
He literally took me out to dinner and was like, will you be my girlfriend? And I was like, yes. Like he did it very like old school. But anyway, so September is always like a month we like to like, you know, celebrate whatever. And so he had planned a trip and was like, all right, we're going to do like a little weekend trip. He didn't tell me where we were going, but like told me how to pack. And I was like, okay. And I'm like texting my girlfriends the whole time, like my best friends, Angelique and Madison. And I'm like, Daryl's being so weird. I just was like, he's not really telling me what to pack. I'm like, he's telling me to pack like hot stuff, also kind of cold stuff. I was like, I don't know if he's trying to throw me off. And they're like, yeah, girl, he's trying to throw you off. Like, this is crazy. Like, you're going to have so much fun though. Like, just go with the flow. Just go with the flow. I'm like, yeah, but like, he's being so weird. Anywho, so we get in the car and we start driving. And then I kind of start realizing a little ways through that we're going to Santa Barbara, which we love Santa Barbara. So we get to Santa Barbara, we get to check in this nice hotel, and I'm like, you know, again, I think we're just celebrating, like, our anniversary, which at that time was 2 years we'd been together. Yeah. And so I was like, so what are we going to do? And he was like, I don't really have plans. Like, I thought we could just, like, you know, maybe grab dinner somewhere and play it by ear. And I was like, okay, so you just didn't plan anything. Got it. Exciting. But I was happy to be with him, right? Mm-hmm. So we go to dinner, like a very casual dinner the first night. And then the Saturday we wake up and he's like, hey, I love horseback riding, which is ironic because I just went horseback riding over this weekend and I hadn't done it since we got engaged. So it was kind of like a moment. Anywho, so we'd been saying we wanted to go horseback riding. And so we wake up in the morning. He's like, I don't really have plans. Like, but do you want to maybe go horseback riding? And I was like, oh my gosh, D, yes. That would be amazing. He's like, okay. So he like goes in his laptop. And I find out later he's acting as if he's making a reservation. Like fully typing things in. It's like, yeah, okay. Yeah, we're confirmed for 3 o'clock. And I'm like, oh my God, that's great. He's like, yeah, they barely had any spaces left. Thank God they put us in. I'm like, oh my God, yes. So we get to the place and I brought a Polaroid camera with me just because I wanted to like have memories. I was like really into Polaroid. I still am. But at the time I was like taking a lot or disposable camera rather. So we get to the place. He's like, let's take a picture like before we get on the horse. And I was like, okay. And he's not typically like, at the time, the picture suggester, it was always me. So I was like, oh my God, this is so cute. Like, he wants to take a picture. But really, it was like our last picture kind of like before we got engaged. And so we meet up with like our, who I thought was just our like horseback riding instructor. And we go on, it's just like the three of us. So then we get to the beach. It was like a, like through the woods, like to the beach in at Santa Barbara. So we get there and it's just so beautiful. Like, it just was gorgeous. And so the like a horseback instructor lady was like, do you want to get off the horse? And I was like, no, I'm kind of liking just staying up here on the horse. I'm like, it just looks so beautiful. And Daryl's like, no, Bash, you should get down. I'm like, why? Like, I want to sit on the horse. Like, I'm kind of like going back and forth with them. I'm like, okay, fine, I'll get down. So then I get down and Daryl's like, look, it's so beautiful. And like, he's telling me like, look at the ocean, and then I turn around and he's on one knee. And the horseback riding instructor transformed into a photographer. She was also a photographer. So she's at this point, she has on a, like a different outfit, a vest, you know, she has a lens out. She's doing all sorts of different things. And then we had like champagne and like, you know, snacks and stuff on the beach and got to celebrate. And then that night we went to a beautiful like French restaurant for dinner. And I'm like calling, FaceTiming all my friends. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Meanwhile, they were all in town. They all knew about it because we had a surprise engagement party the next day. So he was making it seem like we were coming back to LA to like, he got us an Airbnb to like not be at our house, like to do something different. I was like, Daryl, why would we stay at an Airbnb and not our house? Like, that's insane. Like, why would we spend the money to like spend a night in an Airbnb? Like, we have a perfectly fine place. He's like, no, but we just got engaged. Like, that's crazy. We're not going back to our apartment. No. And I was like, okay. And he threw a surprise engagement party with like 50, 60 friends. And it was like a party. And it's what I always like decorated, bartenders, like, you know, it just was my best friend since I was 12 years old, flew in town. She had just had a baby 3 months before that. Like, it just was really, really beautiful. Everyone risked their lives in COVID. and we had a blast. But I just say that to say, you know, our engagement weekend was everything I could have wanted, from like the ring to the Santa Barbara to the horses to surprising me with all my closest friends and our friends that we've made throughout the years. It was gorgeous. It was great.
Oh, that's so nice. That's so, it's so thoughtful and nice. And it's like a real like show of love.
Yeah. And the cool thing about it is that it actually was a pivot. We were supposed to get engaged in Kenya. But because of COVID, our trip had to get canceled. So this was a big pivot that he made, the Santa Barbara and the engagement party in LA. That wasn't at all the original plan.
I mean, what a great pivot. I mean, it still sounds delightful. It reminds me of, not a great story, but Jada Pinkett Smith has been on a press tour, and I love every single thing about it. And there was a video where Will Smith was like, I threw this beautiful party for her birthday because she was like in this like midlife crisis. And I was like, I'm going to pull her out of it. And then Jada said, this is the biggest display of ego I've ever seen. And I was like, Jada, he was trying to do something nice. And I don't know the ins and outs of their relationship, but like Daryl doing such a beautiful thing and you being like, thank you, I think is the appropriate response.
Yeah. Also, it was what I wanted. Like, I used to talk about, like, I love it when people have like engagement parties right after they get engaged. So like, he listened to me. I think I might have said that. I might have said what Jada said if it were something that only he wanted. Mm-hmm. That might have felt that way. Like, if we got engaged on a football field, I would have been like, this is the biggest display of ego I've ever seen. But that's not what happened, you know? It was beautiful.
And then how long did you guys date before getting married?
So we dated, like, officially, like, from September 1st, 2018, when he was like, will you be my girlfriend, mm-hmm. to when we got engaged in 2020, 2 years. But we were, like, in a situationship for many, 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 many years before that. So I always say, like, the way I describe it is, like, our 20s, because we met when we were, like, 22 and 23. Mm-hmm. So our 20s were, like, a whole bunch of back and forth, a whole bunch of ridiculousness, but, like, we always had these feelings for each other. And then we turned 30 and we're, like, what are we doing? We're in love with each other and have been together ever since. Like, that's the best way to describe it. But 2 years before we got married.
Okay. Officially. And then while you were having your situationship, was there like other people? Were you like, you'd like be together, break up, be with other people, get back together?
So that's the thing. We were never in a relationship. That's what made it a situationship, mm-hmm. until he asked me to be his girlfriend that day.
And oh, so you were just hooking up and like, it was just whatever.
Yeah, like hooking up and like, yes, there were other people and, you know, I'm mad about this person. He's mad. You know, it was all of that. Mm-hmm. But like, we were not like officially, there were no like, to this day, we've never broken up, if that makes sense. Aww. We've never had like a breakup. No. Mm-mm.
That's nice. You guys have a tradition where you alternate planning your anniversary trips.
Yes. Yes. I'm on the hook next year and woo. Every time it's my turn, I'm like, oh God, what am I going to do? But it's such a great tradition. It keeps it spicy. It also like, it allows each partner to show up for the other one mm-hmm. in a special way. You know what I mean? And I really appreciate that. Like, I don't want to feel like I'm the only one planning the cool stuff. You know what I mean? Like, no, you should be doing it too. But Daryl really knocked it out of the park this year. And so I'm like, and it's funny because I'm not competitive, but like, this is where we start to get competitive. I'm like, ooh,
how am I going to top this year?
We went to the one and only Mandarina, which is in Riviera Maya, outside of
Cancun?
Puerto Vallarta.
Oh, okay.
You fly into PV. It was one of the most beautiful resorts I've ever been to in my entire life. It actually was just voted like one of the top resorts in the world. It's really, really like from like, I want to say Condé Nast or Travel and Leisure, one of those magazines.
Lovely.
It's kind of like, it's gorgeous. It's in Mexico, but it's gorgeous because you get like jungle and you get beautiful water that you can like get into and it's safe and great food. And we just had a blast. Also, we were there like during the week. So we were there like Monday to Friday. And I realized I like traveling during the week because it really feels like a break. You know how like typically you'll do like a Thursday to Monday. And so a lot of it's the weekend, which is like you're already like typically more off on the weekend. But like traveling in the middle of the week is like my new favorite thing.
Yeah, it's delightful. Also, you miss all the weird people on the weekend who are also like, getting away.
Exactly.
Yeah, I went to Cancun. Where did I go? Not Cancun. I went to Cabo. And we were there, I think, Wednesday, Thursday was fun. And then Friday, Saturday, like, a bunch of weirdo, like, just weird vacation people came. And I was like, I don't like this. Go
it
back
It takes
home.
A turn. Uh-huh. It takes a turn on the weekends, for sure. Yeah.
Real quick, we gotta take a break. We're back. Okay, so you've been acting since you were 4 years old?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when did you decide you wanted to be an actor?
I mean, I would say it was around then, like when I was in my first play.
The Three Billy Goats Gruff?
Yes.
Where you were cast as a goat?
Yeah.
Which made you cry because you didn't want to play a mean character?
I was cast as a troll.
Oh, a troll. Okay.
I was a troll. I didn't want to be a troll. And I just wanted to be a nice bunny rabbit and like not bother anybody. But they were like, you're a star. You have main character energy. And I was like, okay. And like, honestly, the bug bit me then. Like my parents even talk about it. They're like, we knew. Like you came. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I was like hamming it around, you know, even, you know, as a baby, as a child, whatever. But it was like on that stage, they saw something changed in me. And honestly, I've been going at it and studying and doing it ever since. Truly, I've never stopped in 30 years.
And then you went to the Studio Theater in Washington, D.C. So you're from not D.C., you're from Maryland.
Yeah, Maryland, D.C. area. Like, I was born in D.C., but it's all the same. We're all growing up in the same areas. Like,
and then you went to Howard.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What was Howard like? My mother wanted me to go to a HBC or HBCU, and I was like, no, I'm going to go to New York and go to a conservatory, which in hindsight, I really should have just gone to an HBCU because I don't know. I think it's nice. It's nice to be around people who look like you.
It's really special. It's special. And like everything you're just saying is exactly why I went. My mom is also a Howard alum. My dad is an HBCU alum. I come from a family of HBCU goers.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like some of the best 4 years of my life. Like when I break my life up in like, you know, quarters or whatever, it was an amazing part of my life. And like, it's exactly what you said, Nicole, like being surrounded and immersed by like your people, and everybody is excellent and beautiful, mm-hmm. and thriving and smart and doing their thing. It's impossible to leave there and not be better, to not be more empowered as a Black person or a Black woman. I left Howard more cultured, because that's the other thing too. Mm-hmm. You know, you're around everybody from the diaspora, right? So I'm around Caribbean people. I'm around people that are from, you know, Black folks from the UK, Black folks from Africa, like everywhere, you know what I mean? But also like Black folks from Detroit, you know what I mean? We're all together, and we're all celebrating, you know, part of the tradition of an HBCU too is that you're celebrating Blackness all the time. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's just, you know, there's Soul Food Thursday every Thursday, but that is a celebration of Blackness. You know, it's the Greeks stepping on the yard. That's a celebration of Blackness. It's, you know, a random party where, you know, we're swag surfing. That's a celebration of Blackness. So it was truly one of the best decisions. Like marrying Daryl and going to Howard were like best decisions of my life.
Oh, I love that. And you were in a sorority? Are you still in a sorority? Mm-hmm. Is it Sorority for Life?
Yes.
What is a sorority?
It's Sorority for Life. I mean, like, if you want to be, like, I'm an AKA, but, like, if you want to be, like, active, you obviously have to, like, pay your dues. But, like, mm-hmm. once you're in, you're in. So, yeah. But I am an active soror. I would like to say that. I'm paying my dues.
Soror? What did you call yourself? A soror?
A soror. Yeah.
Soror. AKA,
you're in a sorority,
is that
and,
pink, yeah. pink and green?
Yes. Yeah.
Or is that a delta? What are deltas?
No, deltas are red and white.
Red and white.
Zetas are blue and white, and SG Rolls are yellow and blue.
SG Rolls? I don't think I've ever heard of them.
Sigma Gamma Rho.
Oh, yes, I have heard of them.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah.
When did you move to LA?
February 1st, 2010.
I love that you remember the date, like the exact dates.
Oh, yeah. It's impossible to forget. I've been like waiting my whole life to do it.
And so what was your move to LA? My move to LA was very much like, uh-oh, I don't have money. I don't know where to live. I don't know what a good area is. So I slept on a friend's couch for a while, and she had cats, and I'm allergic to cats. So I would sneeze and sneeze and sneeze. But they were very sweet cats.
Similar. I feel like most people like, It's a version of the story that you just told. So mine is that I graduated from Howard in May of 2009. And, you know, I had like gotten a job as like a roving leasing consultant, which means basically I was a leasing consultant, like multiple different properties. So I would like, you know, pop into different properties. It was, mm-hmm. it was actually not a bad paying job. Obviously, I wasn't going to do that forever. Anywho, and so I was just trying to save, and figure out how I was going to get to LA because I needed to get there as soon as possible. And in December of that year, we have like a family tradition where my godmother and my god sister come over the day after Christmas, which is my mom's birthday. Mm-hmm. And so they came over like they always do. And, you know, they're like, Ash, you know, how's it been going? You know, fresh out of school. And I'm like, I mean, it's fine, but like, I'm just ready to move to LA. Like, whatever. Like, I was kind of in that zone where I was like a little like, oh, I'm just so tired of being at home with my parents, like back with my parents, you know, uh-huh. whatever. And my god sister, Darren, she at the time was getting her PhD at Claremont, which is in the IE mm-hmm. area, like, you know, like 50 miles outside of LA. And she was like, well, if you want to move, like, you can come and like stay on my couch for a little bit until you get settled. And I was like, are you serious? She was like, of course. Like, you can just come live with me. I went upstairs, bought a one-way ticket. I got a one-way ticket for $90 on Delta. It was Delta.
$90?
I saved the ticket. Yes, I still have it. And I moved February. So that was December 26th. I moved February 1st. And so I say that to say I had no money, mm-hmm. was staying with my god sister on an air mattress. I, you know, was hustling to try to get a job. This is going to sound so crazy to you. So I'm living in like Upland, which again is like 50 miles outside of LA. Mm-hmm. I got a job at United Colors of Benetton.
Okay.
Which is no longer. So I don't know how old you are, but if you I might be too young to even know what that is. Mm-hmm. No, not you. Whoever's listening might be too young.
Probably.
I figured you would probably know, but it was a cool store. But at the Santa Monica Promenade. So I was driving. It was like 100 miles.
50 miles? Oh, my God.
100 miles round trip like a dummy. I had shipped my RAV4, Raven the RAV, shipped Raven out to L.A., and, like, I just was struggling. I had no money. And then eventually my god sister and I got a two-bedroom apartment, and I continued to get, like, I think until I stopped, like, working survival jobs, I had, like, 18 or something like that. Like, as soon as the mm-hmm. jobs didn't work or wouldn't let me go to an audition or wouldn't let me whatever, I was just like, bye, not trying to build a resume anyway. Like, I just didn't care. So, but that was my story. Honestly, it was my god sister who gave me a chance, gave me a shot, gave me a bed. Yeah.
I mean, it always is nice when you have people like that. Like my friend who I stayed with, she didn't charge me rent. And I was like trying to figure, I was like, what the fuck do people do here? Then I found I started babysitting out here too. I was babysitting in New York as well. And then was like, just trying to like coach improv and just like gather the funds. It was tough. But like also I wouldn't trade it for the world. It was one of the, I don't know, most fun experiences. Then I moved into a two bedroom with my friend and our other friend who slept on the couch, and that was wild. But then you co-created a web series in 2012 called Hello Cupid. Mm-hmm. Would you say that was like the thing that kind of put you on people's radars?
For sure. 1000%. Because, you know, at the time, Nicole, podcasts were like, or not podcasts, web series were like becoming a thing. And like mm-hmm. a lot of people were watching more web series than even sometimes they were watching TV. It was like an interesting time in Hollywood where people were really able to create their own thing for not a lot of money but could have a lot of viewership. Mm-hmm. And that's what Lena Waithe and I did. And we created Hello Cupid and it did really well. And I think people were like, who is this girl? Like, she's talented. She's, you know, obviously has a producer's brain too. And she obviously wants to work because she created a lane for herself or like mm-hmm. a show for herself. And you know, I look back at those days of like, you know, we did everything guerrilla style. It was very like, all right, you know, who has a camera? We found somebody that's going to, you know, give us our camera for $20. Mm-hmm. Let's just shoot it now. You know, can you meet up tomorrow? Can you bring all your own clothes? You know, like all the things. You do your own hair and makeup, you know, like it just, and at the time it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And I'm still really proud of what we created. Cause I think whenever you create something out of knowing you don't have an opportunity and not just waiting for one to fall out of the sky and creating it for yourself, it's very rewarding. And I think it always will lead to something greater.
I agree. And whenever I used to do like a lot of Q&As with like college kids, and I'd be like, don't wait. Just create what you want to create. There's so many different lanes for put up a fucking web series on TikTok, like fucking put up videos anywhere you can. Like there, somebody will find you. Somebody will like you, you know, just keep creating. And that's what I don't know. That's what I keep doing. I just keep doing what I like to do and hope that people find it and like it.
Yeah, that's all we can do.
Just to pivot back to love, dating, and relationships, what kind of advice would you, other than doing calling in the one, what other advice would you give a single lady such as myself or a single person listening?
The advice I would give is, one, find ways to enjoy your singleness. And what I mean by that is, like, as much as I love marriage, and even before we got married, partnership, being in a relationship, it's different than when you're single. And there is a beauty to a single life. There's another beauty to a partnered or married life too, but there's beauty in being single. And I think sometimes when you are really focused on being partnered or being married, that you miss out on the beauty of what your current life is too, and how that will change. So I would just, again, figure out a way to kind of shift your perspective that you still have gratitude for your single season too, and that there's a lot to learn, and there's a lot of growth that ultimately needs to happen so that when you do find your person, hopefully you don't mess it up. Mm-hmm. So I would say that, and also like live. And that sounds like really like general. But what I mean by that is like, I think sometimes like we put a lot of pressure on like, I got to be on the apps. I got to have a friend hook me up with such and such. I got to do this. I got to be waxed. I got to be whatever it is. But truthfully, you just have to live. Most people meet people just by living, having experiences, going to the grocery store, walking around at the park, whatever it is, that does happen. But if you stop living, then you stop experiencing, you stop meeting people, you stop growing. Like, so all of those things kind of, to me, help get you closer to your person, whether it's literally in proximity to like meeting them or just where you need to be at a person to be ready for them.
I think that's good advice. I watched this like Instagram video of this man who was like, you think you should go to a club to meet a guy? Well, do you want a guy who's always in the club? And then he like listed a bunch of other places. He's like, go camping, go do things that you like to do to meet somebody. And I was like, but I like pole dancing. And most men who pole dance are very, very gay. So I got to figure out another thing I like that maybe I'll meet a man who wants to date me. I don't know. I think that's good advice, though, to just like live your life. I am trying to do that, trying to live my life, have a nice time. But I'm just so horny. But I'm in an era where I'm horny for love. And I've been in this little era before, but I'm back in it. I don't want just like random hookups. That just doesn't seem fun. To like fuck somebody and then be like, okay, see you later. I'll never see you again. Truly horny for love and just trying to figure out how to get it. Real quick, we gotta take a break.
You're on your way, Nicole. Like it's all happening. And even just you saying like, you have to be honest with yourself when you've outgrown a season. Like, even just that alone is getting you closer to love. You're not staying in a place that, like, doesn't serve you anymore, that doesn't feel good to you anymore, that isn't you anymore. And that alone is gonna take you really far to finding your partner. So I'm excited for you.
Do you know anyone?
Not really. I gotta be honest about it.
Nobody does. What the fuck? Every fucking person.
It's getting rough. I'm not gonna lie.
I have so many friends who are in wonderful relationships or, you know, they've chosen to be single for a little bit. Am I, do you know anybody? And everyone is always like, no, not at all. Don't know a single fucking person. Why?
Until we do. Until we do. People pop up all the time.
People do pop up all the time. I, like, met this guy, and I thought we were flirting, and I invited him to something, and he was like, yeah, I'll come, and then it just never aligned, and then he started texting me again, and I was like, oh, my God, he's coming back into my life. Oh, my God, maybe we'll go out, and then he was like, my girlfriend, and I was like, what is happening? What do you, why... Why are you texting me? I do not want, I have all of the friends I've ever needed. I do not need you. I don't want this. Yeah, I feel like anytime I'm like, ooh, this person might be interested, they're like, okay, me and my girlfriend will come to your show. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to crawl into a shallow grave and go to sleep.
Yeah, I feel it. But just, Nicole, what I want you to know is that, like, anything and everything can change at any time. Like, anytime. We could end this podcast and you could text me tomorrow and be like, girl, you are not going to believe it. I'm going to be like, actually, I do. Like, that's what that's what you have to hold on to. That, like, things change. Think about how many things have already changed in your life. You were broke. Now you're not. You were sleeping on couches. Now you're not. So if that's the case, why can't that change as far as your relationship status as well? You just have to keep believing.
Oh, my God. That was nice and beautiful. Just keep believing. Do you ever get on a plane and then go, what if everyone stops believing? Because to me, planes are insane. Like, the fact that this huge thing is just fucking flying. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what if we all just stop believing? Will this plane go down? I think of that. I think of that all the time when I'm on planes, which
really?
Is so dark.
Like, what if we, wait, what do you mean? What if we stop believing that, like, this plane...
is actually flying through the sky at like thousands of pounds. It, it's very silly, and nobody thinks the way I do. I recently went to a wedding. It was my friend's wedding, and wow, I'm just bouncing around. I don't know if I took my ADHD medicine, whatever, but I went to this wedding, and it was a beautiful ceremony, but the priest at one point says some relationships don't work out, but it's he was like, being in a relationship is better than being single. And I was like, oh, my God, is this man, did he like wake up to hurt my feelings? I couldn't believe he said that at this wedding.
What? The priest? Also, it was a priest?
It was a very, my friend is religious and goes to church a lot. Maybe it wasn't a priest. Maybe it was a reverend or something. It was like a very formal wedding. And
oh,
yeah,
wow.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, so, okay.
Were there any audible gasps?
No, because everybody there, I think, was truly partnered. And they were like, ha, 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 you're right. We're okay. All in relationships. And it is better than being single. It was just funny because I was like, I'm in a mood where I'm like, I would like to be partnered. And he was like, being single is the pits. And I was like, it is, sir. It is.
Yeah. I don't know. Because also, like, being in a ridiculous relationship is the pits, too. So,
yes.
Honestly, I disagree with the priest, the reverend, the pastor, whatever he was, rabbi. I disagree. Because it is true. Like, I would rather be, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be miserable with you. Like, mm-hmm. And if you're making me miserable, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I would
yeah.
rather just be miserable by myself. Like, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I would rather be miserable than with somebody. But then you could just be like, you could commiserate together and be like, doesn't our relationship suck? No, I'm kidding. I know this episode comes out after Halloween, but I went to a psychic who told me I was going to meet someone at a Halloween party. And then... I made plans to go away for Halloween, and I was like, should I not go away with girls that I know I'm going to have a great time with and go to Halloween parties where I might not have a great time just to find somebody?
Well, Nicole, who's to say that there's not a party where you're going?
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense. We could end up going to a party.
Yeah.
I have been to so many psychics just trying to be like, when? And all of them are like, soon. Can't tell you anything other than just it's going to happen soon, which is the most frustrating thing in the whole fucking world.
Mm-hmm. So do you like really buy into like psychics? Like, are you going to the people that have like the crystal ball outside of there?
No. I have friends who will see a psychic and then will like happen to talk about it and then they'll give me their information. And truly, I've been to maybe like 4 or 5 and only one was really good. And the mark of it, no, 2 were very good. And the mark of a good psychic is they don't tell you anything you don't already know. So like your like past stuff, things you've done, your family stuff. But then things in the future, I've had them say things and they've like come true. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I do believe in it. But also, I'm like woo-woo. I'm like witchy. I like candles. I do.
Yeah, no, me too. I believe that like there's got to be people on Earth that have like a little bit more access than the rest of us and like are a little bit more connected. Like I for sure believe in that. Yeah, yeah.
I once made a car appear.
Wait,
I was in Greece with my friend Mono. It was, I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast, but it was the hottest day of the year. We decided to go to a beach. The guy who dropped us off was like, nobody's going to pick you up. It's too steep for cars to go down. And we were like, okay. And then we get to the beach and then the guy at the beach club was like, oh, I mean, no car is going to come get you. It's too steep. But you can walk to the bus stop. It's 10 minutes away. And we were like, okay, 10 minutes, that's fine. But we didn't anticipate how hot it was going to get, like, towards, like, 3, 4 o'clock. It was, like, 102, 105. It was disgusting. And we were walking, and we had been walking for, like, a solid 5, 6 minutes. And I was like, Mono, how much further is it? And he was like, it still says 10 minutes. And I was like, how does it still say 10 minutes? And I was like, doesn't anyone hitchhike here? And he was like, I don't know, Nicole. And we were both like turning on each other because it was so hot. And then a car, I didn't see it pass us, but it was just on the side of the road, a little black Volkswagen Golf. And a lady was like, hey, where are you guys going? And we were like, oh, to the bus stop. She's like, yeah, but where are you going after the bus stop? We were like, to the boat to go back to Mykonos. And she's like, I'll take you. So we got in the car with her. There was other people walking that she did not stop for. And I very much believe I made that car. I was like at my wit's end and I truly was like chanting in my brain. I was like, a car has to stop. A car has to stop. A car has to stop. It will stop and it will take us to where we need to go. And then it happened.
I have to say that story is lovely. However, all I keep thinking about is like, what if she was an axe murderer? Like you just got in a car with a random woman that was like, do you want to ride?
Yes.
Oh, no. Mm-mm. I would have been too scared.
Yes. And she was very, very sweet. If she was an axe murderer, ballsy for her because it was daylight. You're going to kill 2 people? Also, okay, this will sound insane. And I know fat people get murdered, but I just think it's more effort than you really want to put out.
Oh, my God.
So if you kill a fat person, you got to dispose of them. That's like disposing of 2 people. That's a lot of work. I just don't see it for myself. And no shade to any fat people who have
Thank
been murdered
God.
And the people have put in the effort of disposing. But like, I just think it's too much effort.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
I see what you're saying.
I do. But still scary. Like,
no,
still scary.
I'm never worried about someone murdering me. I truly, okay. I'm too charismatic. One. 2, I think it's too much effort to get rid of this body. 3, you're going to keep me? Where are you going to keep me? I'm so loud. I would make a noise. You wouldn't be able to kidnap me, keep me anywhere. I don't see it for myself.
I'm so happy you don't see it. I don't see it for myself either, but I hear what you're saying and I'm still not getting in a car with somebody, but
on the hottest day of the year?
No.
Really?
I would have just had to seek shelter. And really? Miss the boat or something. Or I would have just kept walking, Nicole. There's also that option.
No, not at all. I was like, Mono looked at me and I said, we're getting in the car. And Mono was like, okay. And
if I were with you, like, I would have been like, no, Nicole, we're not. And then you would have gotten in the car with a nice lady, been on the boat. I would have been seeking shelter until the sun went down. But I don't know that I could have done it. I would have been scared.
Oh, I, no, everyone's nice. I really, I don't know. I just don't believe in a world where something terrible is going to happen to me. Only nice things.
I love that. Now that's a good perspective. You're right. You have to expect the best. Expect yes. the best
expect
in life.
Expect yes. the best. Ashley, before we go, I ask all of my guests this and I fully fucking forgot. I don't know what's going on with my little brain. Ashley, would you date me?
1,000%.
Thank you.
I think you're so beautiful. I think you're so funny. I think you're so real and you're fun. Like, love and dating is about having fun. So someone you can have fun with and that's going to keep it real with you, 1,000%. I would totally date you, Nicole.
I love that. Thank you, Ashley. I needed that. Well, Ashley, thank you so much for doing this little podcast episode. Do you
Thanks
have anything?
For having me.
Do you have anything that you want to promote?
Yeah, I mean, my podcast, Trials to Triumphs, you can get it anywhere you listen to podcasts. New episodes each and every Monday. And actually, I have Nicole coming on as a guest. So that's going to be happening in November. And it is a fantastic episode. She's showing us a different side, everybody. We're going deep. We're learning about her childhood.
Her childhood.
We're learning about lessons.
The lessons I learned.
You know, we're learning about self-confidence. It's a lot. She gave a lot. And it was a fun, beautiful episode. And I'm excited for you all to listen to it.
It was very fun. I'm excited for it to come out. And it's on the OWN network. It's on, not the OWN network. It's on Oprah Winfrey's podcast network.
Yes, yes.
Have you met Oprah?
I have not.
Okay.
And I say that because I'm sad. I just feel like, I think it's time. Miss Winfrey and I connect. I want to go to her beautiful home and, you know, pick, you know, food from her garden and make it and sit down and maybe have a glass of wine or something, or maybe go to her Hawaii home. Like, I have all these dreams. So hopefully they come true.
I hope they come true. One of my favorite videos that came out of the pandemic, and I know the pandemic was real. People died, but there was some tee-hee-hees to be had. Oprah was like on her estate and Stedman had gotten COVID. So she made a video going to visit Stedman in her guest house. And he like popped out from a window like it was Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. And was like, we're introducing all the characters of Oprah's. It made me laugh so hard. And she's just like teetering down to see Stedman. Anyway, Oprah brings me joy.
Yes.
If you liked this episode of Oh, Why Won't You Date Me? You can like it, you can rate it, you can subscribe, give me 5 stars. If you write me something nasty hitting on me to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com, I will read it. This says, let's play Ghost. Hi, Nicole. If we were together, I would suggest that we try out some role play scenarios where we recreate scenes from our favorite movies. Since I know how much you love Ghost, we'll start there. But I think slowly shaping Clay to the Righteous Brothers is a bit overplayed. I disagree. Instead, I want you, a beautiful, confident black woman, to be the Oda Mae Brown to my Molly Jensen. You'll sit in a chair across from me without words, slowly embody the spirit of the inconquerable Patrick Swayze. You'll silently guide me up from my seat, graze my arms and shoulders with your possessed hands, tilt my head back, and kiss me passionately, fully embodying the gayest moment of 1990 outside Paris is burning. Then, after we both experience 1 minute of transcendent and all-consuming desire, your depossessed body will crumble to the ground, and we will pretend that neither of us made it to completion. Okay, that's nice. Thank you. Ooh, Ashley didn't like it. Bye-bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solo-Taroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.